Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, one and all, to the Dr. Rock Computer Love Show, where we talk about romance and relationships in cyberspace, how to do it right, how to do it wrong, how to be safe. We're going to make sure that everybody is going to have a good time this evening. Plug in, go ahead and sit back. We're going to, again, crank up a cool glass of Chardonnay. Just sit back and relax, because you know where you're at. Dr. Rock. Just so you know, that's our song. I want to make sure you know that you're at the home of computer love, cyberspace dating. We talk about it, we rap about it, we make it right, we got solutions, we got all the answers. Guys, I want to make sure that you understand that this is a no sexist zone. We want to make sure that, you know, we're not going to try to, you know, beat down each other. I think that may be one of the biggest problems in relationships today. We got kind of a role gender thing we've swapped out, you know, and we've decided to, I guess, everybody wants to be everything except who they are. So let's just be who we are. Let's just be safe at it. Again, you know, we're all sponsored. We want to make sure that you guys go to our website. That's www.brandnew.me. That's brandnew.me. Brandnew.me, where we do it brand new. We're a marketing and media website. We help you with graphic design. We help you create clean websites. We help you create products and services that are far beyond that of mortal men. That is reality shows. We produce talk shows for you, talk shows and video commercials. Internet, we call them internet commercials. So take a look at the site. This is all about online dating, cyberspace dating. Get a copy of the book. I think you're going to enjoy it. It's called Computer Love by Dr. Rock. That's Rock Stone. And get a copy. It's about one man's journey through cyberspace in search of his soulmate. So we're going to crank it up here in a minute. We're going to wait for our producer to come in. And we've got a little bit of music for you to play. We'll be right back in a minute.
Away, away, away from the one.
let you go.
Dr. Rock Computer Love Show. Hey, this week's topic, can I trust you? Can I love you? Can I be with you? What are you going to do for me? Oftentimes, I've spoken with women about relationships and romance, and, you know, in fact, we used to do this little test. We got a little dating service here in Houston, Texas, and we go out to the churches and we do a test, whereas we ask the ladies or the guys or whoever, you know, write down all the things that you're looking for in a relationship. And, of course, we get lists and say, hey, Mr. Rock, can I get, like, another piece of paper? And they write two or three pages, a list of things that they want. And then we take a break, feed them donuts, and we ask them again. Now write down the things that you bring to the table. Oh, all of a sudden that list got real short. Some even surmise it to just saying me. And, of course, that's supposed to be omnific and all-encompassing. It's not. Why is it that we want so much and yet we fail to bring the same to the table? Let's see. I think I'm going to have a producer this week. Are you there, KT?
Yes, sir. I'm here, Dr. Rock. How you doing?
Well, can you bring 713 in for me?
Okay, we got 713 coming in right now.
Good man. We're going to make sure that we like to do it relaxed here at the Dr. Rock. Like I said, we're going to lay back. We got a cool glass of Chardonnay. We're going to have intellectual conversation about a very important subject. The most important thing to anybody and everybody on this planet is the solidarity of the family unit. That's what we're talking about here, guys. We're not just talking about sex. We're not just talking about money. We're talking about the family unit becoming whole again. You know, and I think we all know how important that is. Sometimes we might take it for granted. Let's just say, let's be real about it. Our egos can kind of get in the way. But when you meet that special person, you know, the attraction's there, you know, the Mercedes there, the miniskirt fits right, what happens then? What if you can't trust that person? What if you can't be trusted? I mean, can you be trusted when you're out of town or on a business trip, if you know what I mean? So, again, we're going to open up the phone lines. We're going to just sit back and we're going to talk about it. Let me get my co-host in on this right quick. How you doing in the trust department there, KT?
Oh, well, I really would like to know this is the question I pose to anyone who's listening. What does it actually look like? Because you hear a lot of people saying, you know, I trust this person or I don't trust this person. I just like to submit a query as to what does it look like?
And what does trust look like?
What is a trusting relationship that's based on trust? What does it look like? What are some of the tenets of such relationships?
Looks like this is going to be a thought-provoking Thursday. Well, that's a good question. Well, you want me to respond, or do you want to elaborate, or do you want to open it up to 713?
Well, I'll just open it up to anyone who has any insights, yes.
Okay, now we're going to go ahead and clarify this a bit because, of course, we know that an emotion can't be something that's seen as opposed to something tangible. So let's just specify exactly what you mean by what does a trusting relationship look like?
Right, a relationship based on trust look like. I mean, how are the interactions between the man and the woman? For example, if the let's paint a little picture here. Let's say the man in the relationship, he says he's going to be home at 9 o'clock, and he doesn't get home till sometime past 10:30 without any kind of a phone call. What is the wife's reaction to it? How's the tone in the house for the rest of the evening?
Okay, I'm glad you manifested that. You made it quite clear. 713, he's a little bit late. You irate?
I'm fine.
Okay.
Not
did you
I write
hear the questionnaire? Boy just came in a little bit late. He's supposed to be there at 9. He got in at 10:30. What's your reaction?
Well, my first reaction is going to be a little puzzled, but then again, it goes back to that trust, like you stated earlier, if you trust him. Yes, he should have called, but he did not. Then, if he's supposed to be there at 9, my main concern at that particular time, yeah, I can see 9:15, 9:30. You got to break traffic or whatever in consideration. Was he at a business meeting? All depends. You have to look at the circle and not just look at 10:30. If that trust is really there, then why am I going to look for distrusting him when all the time he usually come in on time or just a little late? My first thought and reaction was like, I hope he did not get in any accident.
Okay.
That would be my main concern, because he is either my husband or he's either my fiance. That main concern have to go into, I hope he's okay.
That's
but once he walks through the door.
Hold on 713. We know you're a bit long-winded there.
Sorry.
That's all right. Let's go with this one. Let's spice up the scenario. Since he was supposed to be in at 9, you started calling about 9:15, and he didn't answer his phone. And again, he comes in at 10:30. Does that change anything?
Well, I would be a little concerned, because if he did, and once again, we don't know. Let's say he is in a business meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, if he was in a business meeting, you would know, because he would have called and told you.
Well, yeah. Let's say he's in a business meeting. No, I don't expect him.
Establishing trust.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, I don't expect him to pick the phone up. I'm in a meeting. I'm still in a meeting, honey. I'm still in a meeting. Okay. Everything goes back to that trust. Or did he give you any indication, or did she give you any indication that she was cheating previously? You know, once that thought come in your mind that, okay, maybe my man or my woman is cheating, and then they have a business meeting the following week that you already know of, and once that cheating has already embedded in your mind, and he or she said, I'm going to be in at 9 and don't get in and don't pick up the phone at 10, yeah, that little green gremlin is going to rise, because you're still looking at what happened last week, last month,
okay,
or whenever that distrust had happened.
Well, let me say this right quick. I'm glad I have a co-host now, and it seems like he's turned everybody into a pious pontificator of provocative postulation.
I'm but sure again, Wayne the black guy.
This is Dr. Right. Don't get it twisted, guys. But I enjoyed that 713. Relationship tirade was quite apropos. However, now the Dr. Rock is going to, we're going to sprinkle some seeds of wisdom. This is the way it happens, guys. First and foremost, in society, in relationships, whether they be work or personal, people lie before they breathe. The easiest thing to do today, as far as being distrustful, is to tell a lie. Most people will tell it automatically. They don't even have to think about lying. It's automatically built into them since they were 2-3 years old. Why? First of all, psychologically, let's analyze the situation. They do not want to take responsibility for any wrongdoing, number one. I mean, let's be real about it. Of course, we're all going to say that, you know, my character is impeccable and I'm an honest person. But what happens when you catch that person in the lie and they don't step up to the plate? You know, because none of us are perfect. We know that. But, again, the lie, again, is the easiest form of cheating. I mean, let's just be real about it. You know, I've been with women before. I've been with my friends, my guy friends, and the phone rings. They notice a significant other. They look at the caller ID. They put the phone back in their wallet, in their pocket, or the lady puts the phone back in her purse, and they continue to do what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're talking about here is the difference. Well, what we're talking about is cyberspace dating. In cyberspace dating, there has to be two things, guys. Dr. Rock always says this, and that's called accountability. if we're in a long-distance relationship, you're in New York, I'm in San Diego, and, you know, we got a pretty good relationship. We already got a huge time zone problem happening. So if I call you at a certain time, you don't answer your phone, of course, you know, a responsible, mature person will just wait. You know, leave a message and won't assume anything up front. After a couple of hours, you call back, you call the other number, you call a home number, you call a cell phone number, and it's getting kind of late. Again, you still don't get a response. Now, that again, significant other calls you the next day, like everything is cool, the next morning. And it's not. Because without accountability, there can be no trust. First of all, we're not in each other's intimate space. By the way, guys, you want to get your book published? Go to the website, go to Intimate Space Publishing, take a look at the Computer Love book. We're helping people birth their dreams and bring them into reality. We do romance novels. We call it hip-hop Shakespeare, cookbooks, whatever it is you want to do. But back to this. The situation is like this, guys. Women have a unique way of looking at trust, because I've heard this from several women, not all but several. And they say, well, I will trust you until you give me a reason not to. Now, men, you know, I guess we're on the other side of the brain. We're from Venus. We're from Mars. We're on another planet. Our perception is, I ain't going to trust your ass because I already perceive you're going to do dirt because I see people out there doing dirt. But if you want me to trust you, then that's something that you're going to have to earn. So in other words, what I'm saying is that women seem to be more willing to trust and men seem to be more on the cautious side of things. KT, $60,000 question. Your last relationship, sex was good, take her out to eat, everything was peachy keen, hunky-dory. Were there any trust issues?
Let's speak on one of the earlier
relationships. Yeah, we never use names here. We never use names. We're just going to be talking.
I certainly won't. Speak on one of the earlier relationships that I had as far as the trust issue.
Mm-hmm.
Now, trust became an issue when, okay, let's. I don't want to take a detour, but I think that this is very much integral to what we're talking about here. Let's just say that the person that you're seeing, you know, they have a lot of friends of the opposite sex, and I do. And, you know, I really haven't had a problem with that, and vice versa. I haven't had a problem with anyone having, my lady having any male friends. I don't have a problem with it. But let's just say this new guy comes into the picture, this new friend. Now, if this person is, you know, having a lot of conversation with this person, you know, maybe spending time with this person, then that may raise your eyebrows a little bit. You know, there's this new person coming to the fold, and this person's getting a lot of time spent with them. So you kind of try to kind of turn the side eye to your mate and ask them, what's going on between you and, you know, this new friend. I mean, how long have you known him? When did you meet him? Then that kind of that little bit of insecurity within builds.
Yeah, I agree. But
now, if you express that to them, and then if you're satisfied with their explanation or their answer, then maybe that'll be quelled for a little while, and then maybe your trust can continue. But if you're dissatisfied with this person's answer, then that may, you know, breed some trust issues. Now, for me personally, what happened with that is that's exactly what happened, and the answers that I got weren't very satisfactory, or the answers that I got were contradictory to the actions that you can see going on.
Right. In other words, you knew she was lying. She was going to stick with the lie, and that was the end of the story.
Yeah, she's going to stick with the lie until you get caught.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and a lot of people, like I said, until you see me, because, you know, we're talking about developing a new show here called Dead Ringers, and the subtitle is It Wasn't Me. You know, unless you got them on tape, a lot of people are just not going to confess to it, you know. They're going to deny it to their grave, you know. Is that one of the supposedly female traits there? 713, I'm not going to be sexist. I'm just throwing it out there. Some people say that, you know, women will take their lie to the grave, you know, that baby's daddy, that extramarital affair, whatever it might be. But I'm sure guys do the same thing. There are guys out there that, you know, they live with their lies every night and come home and sleep next to their mate and know that they were doing dirt. So, you know, But again, why is it, let me ask you this, 713, why is it that women are so open to trust?
Well, because it goes back to say, well, I'm going to trust you until I see you doing something wrong. So we're just going to lay it out there. And it all depends on the individual female. Not all women are like that. Some female never trusts you, and you cannot be doing anything. And it also goes back to that past relationship or either farther once there was a child. So it all depends on back to that individual person. And, yes, some female do take their lie to their grave.
Let me ask you this right quick. What is this thing about, I'll put it gently. Trust issues. I hear women say that a lot. Oh, you got trust issues. Oh, that's a red flag, girl. I saw a red flag. You can't trust him. Women seem to be a lot more, let me say, accessible to their friends, their female friends, when it comes to advice about their relationships and about a man that their friends know nothing about. And yet they seem to feed off of that input as though it's factual.
Mm-hmm.
And is that just a camaraderie? Is that the you just want someone to co-sign this madness or this sickness with you or misery loves company? Or are you guys not logical enough to realize that you may be spilling your guts out to your friend about someone, again, that she has no inkling of an idea of anything about this person?
Mm-hmm.
You land next to this person, you know, taking a shower with him, brushing your teeth, walking in while he's using the bathroom, fixing him a sandwich. You know, you guys have a life. You know some things about this person, his history, his past. She knows nothing. Yet you guys endearingly go to your friends and sit back as these friends psychoanalyze your relationship as though they're professionals or as though they're laying between you guys. Help me understand that.
It's basically a woman thing. women sometimes can relate to other women once they sit down and talk about their mate, whether it be good or bad, naughty or nice. Women's connection, because when you talk to another female, regardless if they know your mate or not, it's a certain calm. And when you talk to your man, he's probably going to psychoanalyze you anyway on what you're going to say. You're going to have to, sometimes you're going to.
Your girlfriend is going to co-sign it, whether you're right or wrong, correct?
Not all. It's just, let's say it's the majority going to co-sign.
We don't use all. But most of your girlfriends are going to be on your side, correct?
Most, yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Most, and there's just that. 2 out of 15 is going to say, no, you're wrong. Maybe you need to look and see what you're not doing right. I mean, you can't always blame it on him all the time, like he can't always blame it on her all the time. It's just a female thing.
Okay. Let's get KT's perspective on that right quick. Because, I mean, Dr. Rock Computer Love Show, guys, we're not here about just to talk about it. We understand that brainstorming is truly the essence of great things happening, of the endearing creation of innovation. However, we also want to put some solutions out there on the table. But go ahead, KT. What's your perspective?
Well, I was going to say we have another caller coming in. Want to get their perspective inside. I'm going to ring them in right now.
I don't see that 111.
Yes.
I'm not sure if that's a caller. I think that's us being monitored. So go ahead and give us your perspective.
All right. Yeah, I'm a little suspect, but, you know, I want to give everyone a chance to speak up.
Well, you know what else? It might be a private caller. So if you want to come in, private caller, just let us know. Go ahead, KT.
All right. Well, I was just going to say, going back to what was said before about how we listen to our friends and sometimes our family, I think us people, period, both men and women, sometimes we don't want to deny the fact that we are just as clueless about how to navigate this thing as anyone else is.
Right.
You know, we and sometimes it kind of lends itself to us thinking that we have everything figured out, we have all the answers, but we don't really have any answers at all. So we're just seeking something. And unfortunately, you tend to seek from whomever's available, whomever's closest to you, regardless of what their insight is. They may not have very much insight at all.
I agree. And yet, but through camaraderie, through that good old girl thing, just like the guys do, we're going to co-sign that madness, whether, you know, you're right or wrong. And sometimes we do it vindictively. We say, well, you know, she should be able to see that her relationship is dissolving in front of her eyes. And I'm not going to be the one to tell her. If she can't see it, that's on her. Now, this private caller, we got a little feedback. I'm not sure who you are. We got a little feedback. If you want to come in, please do so. If not, we're going to put you back on hold. Because
yeah, can you hear me?
Oh, I got you.
Okay.
Sorry. We got a little feedback in that.
Yeah, sorry about that. That comes from my wall jack. Can't do anything about that. So, sorry.
Go ahead.
Okay, what I wanted to know.
Trust in relationships.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm here.
Okay.
What I wanted to find out was, it says in the description we have some solutions. So
yes, sir.
That's what I'd like to find out. Has anybody come to a consensus or any type of agreement about what some of the solutions might be?
Since I'm the doctor of the show, I'm going to have to go ahead and we usually hold that until toward the end, but I'm going to go ahead and give you a solution right now. Right off the bat, guys, trust one thing, yourself. And be confident in who you are and understand that nobody's perfect. So if there is a fallacy, if you see a flake in the stone, if you see that imperfection, there's no need to run because we need to understand that, again, before you walk by the mirror, take some time to look. You'll see that same imperfection in the mirror. So we're not going to judge people about one lie, one missed phone call. But we are going to be always cautious. Dr. Rock always speaks in cyberspace. Be cautious about who you date. Take time to know that person. Make sure that they're going to be accountable. Make sure that they're going to be accessible. But we're not going to be, you know, this red flag thing, you're always going to see red flags. Every individual outside of yourself, there's going to be a disagreement. There's going to be a difference in opinion. We have to learn to respect that, and that comes from our own self-confidence. So, you know, we're going to open up that line of communication regardless. But the key is, this is, you know, what do you do when that trust is tested? You sit down with that person. You hold them with a gentle touch, and you ask them very blatant questions. You see their reaction. This is the first incident. You know, we're going to delve into how we can communicate at this point. I tell people a lot of times, I'm prepared for the red flags. I'm prepared for some bad things to happen. I know that they're out there. We're going to have disagreements. My question to you is, ma'am, sitting across the table from me, is how do we fix it? Or how can we fix it? And in the process, I want to see exactly what they're going to bring to the table as far as fixing that solution. Are they going to be responsible and say, I was wrong, I won't do it anymore, I have to do better? Or are they going to just, you know, continue to travel down that river called denial? So, you know, what Dr. Rock suggests is communicate with that person immediately. Now, I'm not saying stay up till 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, but confront the person, ask them, Take a snapshot and see how they react. At that point, you have a decision to make. And again,
all right, so let's say you made the decision that you want to stay with this girl or with this guy. So how many times are you going to be forgiven?
Well, again, there is no set number. This is not mathematics. Because mathematics is what? Infallible. It's perfect. 1 and 1 is 2 all over the world in whatever language you want to, you know, decipher it in. These are matters of the heart. So that's going to depend on what? How much you really care about that person.
Okay.
And your tolerance level. You know, your tolerance level. Some people can take more than others. Some people flee at the first, you know, sight of imperfection. You know, the red flag thing again. And
it's up to the individual, right?
It is an individual choice.
Okay.
It is. And it's about tolerance. And again, you weigh out the difference between, like I said, tolerance and love. If you're really into somebody, I've noticed that some people will take a lot. Or if you just have what they call a laid-back demeanor. some people become very aloof, and they just say, well, you do your thing, and I'll do my thing.
But do you think there's any general type of solutions so that a person knows that regardless of individual thresholds, that, okay, if she or he crosses this line this time, this is it?
Well, that you're right. And that may be the second, third, fourth, whatever. That's when you set parameters. And again, with that same soft touch, what do you suggest? This can't happen again. You know, that's when you set the parameters. This is it. We've drawn a line in the sand. And if it happens again, then we're going to have a problem. And to rectify it may mean us dissolving this relationship.
Yeah,
whether
I understand.
Marriage or,
yeah,
you know,
I agree with you on the individual may, depending upon the individual, some people may have two times, three times, four times, five times, depending upon the tolerance.
Exactly.
What sign do you think would be universal for anybody, regardless of the thresholds, for them to know if they cross the second second infraction, or if they cross this tenth infraction, I know then that after this time, after this line in the sand, they've got to go.
Well, it looks like you want a number out of me, and just for the sake of mathematics, let's just say for the sake of mathematics.
No, not a number.
Okay.
I know it sounds that way. Let me try to rephrase.
Go ahead.
I gotta best say it. Everybody has different thresholds, right? Some are 10, some are 2, some are 20.
Exactly.
How can any individual, is there any any, from your opinion or from your experience, do you think that maybe some sort of a sign which is particular or unique to everybody's situation in which they feel, okay, I set these parameters at 2, I set these parameters at 13, I set these parameters at 11, and now I know that if those parameters for this particular time, this is the last time because I know I can't trust her anymore.
Exactly. Let me say this. If you're not being heard, if you're reaching out, you're touching, you're communicating with this person, they're constantly in denial, and you feel like they're not really hearing you, or let me say it better, they're not concerned with the way you feel, and they blatantly show it, I'm sure that that's going to lessen the amount of chances that they will get in the end. You know, I mean, I'm sure that once you realize that after you try and communicate with the person, we try and fix the problem because we did a show on fixing it. You know, we've tried to fix it. We've communicated. And yet the problem persists. And there's an air of how you feel about it. Now, you're right. At that point, I'm going to become very, let's just say, animate about the fact that I need to do something to protect myself, whether it be male or female. This is the age of AIDS. And I want everybody, again, to be safe. I meet people all the time online, on the computer, and people travel. They meet somebody. They see your bins, your house built on the side of a stone mountain, you know, Stone Mountain, Georgia, and they want to come and be a part of that. And, you know, you have a spicy, torrid weekend, and Monday and Tuesday, you can't contact that person again. So take your time and get to know the individual. But when it comes to actually knowing when to, in other words, when to say enough is enough, that is an individual choice. But again, if that person is being very inconsiderate after you attempted to sit down with them and fix the problem, then that tells you exactly how they feel about the situation, male or female. And you have to make a decision because, you know, a lot of times, let me say this, children are involved. You know, so you got to protect yourself, protect the children, protect your relationship. You know what I want you guys to protect mostly? Protect yourself for real. Because if you don't, if you sit in a toxic relationship and you become damaged, it just makes it more difficult in your next relationship. So communicate with that person and say, look, I don't feel like you're being honest with me. At this point, maybe the third or fourth time, now all of a sudden you want to open up. I got too many bad reactions. I didn't get the responses I wanted. I didn't like the way we attempted to fix this situation. How about we just move on? And I think that's all you can do. Unfortunately, today it's easier to get out of a relationship than it is to get into one. So we appreciate your call.
Okay. Thanks,
sir.
Take care.
Uh-huh. 713.
Yes.
Okay. Let me ask you this right quick. Do you actually think that you can trust a person 100%? Because I've heard people oftentimes say, well, I was married to this person 15 years. I thought I could trust them. What happened with that trust?
What happened to the trust within 15 years?
Yeah.
Infidelity. Yeah, you forgive that person once, twice, three times. Let's say years went by. You know, your trust has already regained itself to its full potential, let's say. And then here it is, back doing the same thing, but the only thing, he or she brings something home, and the other party got it.
We appreciate that.
You know?
No sexist zone of acknowledgement. We really appreciate that. But that's
because
what we're about. Go ahead.
That is the core of, that's one of the core of your, you know, your relationship is demolished. Yes, it can be repair, but it's up to that individual person, both individual person, whether he or she wants to repair this relationship or just let it go. But
let me
after
ask my co-host.
Yes.
Can you fix it after it's been damaged?
Well, we were talking about numbers and you know, mathematics and things of that nature earlier. I think sometimes it's more of the magnitude of the infraction.
Okay.
I mean,
it's about numbers. How
bad was
the infraction?
How badly was it damaged? I mean,
if I
sustain a gunshot wound in my foot, then as long as it didn't hit anything vital, I'm pretty sure I can be repaired and recover, you know, easily, more easily than if the foot was blown off. So I guess it depends upon the magnitude. And going back to what y'all were saying about that.
Wait, hold on a second. I want you to make that understood in the relationship, that same pain, foot, chest wound.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to bring that into a relationship. In other words, give me two examples of, again, the gauging the pain in that infraction or the distrust.
Okay, let's just say you know this person's history. You know that this person has, they've been hurt, they've been cheated on. You know that in their eyes, maybe the one of the worst things that you could do to them.
Mm-hmm.
And if you blatantly go out and you do that, because, you know, constantly with just a wanton disregard for this person's past and this person's feelings and how regard they hold such a thing. That may be too damaging.
That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for them not returning a phone call as opposed to them sleeping with someone else.
Okay. Go ahead. Oh, no, I say, okay, well, returning a phone call versus actually sleeping with someone outside of a relationship. I mean, you would think.
It's totally different. The magnitude is much greater when you sleep.
And that's what I was trying to get out.
Out.
Yeah, that's what
you would think that
is different. You sound like you're comparing a nice shot of tequila with a nice fine champagne here.
No, I don't want to make those comparisons. Just like I didn't want to compare the wine, I don't want to compare the foot. I want it to be about relationships.
It is.
Scenario. Hold on. I just gave you a scenario. The person, the question here is, how do you, if you are going to equate that pain, then let's equate the pain, let's say, of not returning a phone call or two, and let's equate the pain of having another affair outside of the relationship, either a 9 or a 10.
Okay, well,
Hold on a second. Let's let KT finish.
Okay, well, I think when you say we're not returning a phone call, I think that may just linger with uncertainty just till the next time that you actually speak with that person and you get an explanation.
Exactly.
But now that you know, I've had that happen. You know, you agonize over it for a couple of hours, or you know, a day, and then they call you back, and then you know, you ask what happened, and they explain to you what happened. If that explanation is satisfactory, then it's relieved. So there's no real damage done. It was just a little anxiety there.
Okay.
However, you say if you sleep with this,
why is that infidelity a 10?
Well, that's what I was about to get into next, because that kind of thing can linger. Mm-hmm. You know it happened. You know that there was someone outside of the relationship. That kind of thing lingers. Now you start to think, okay, if it happened with this person, then I'm going to have to think about whenever this person goes out, whenever I'm not in this person's presence, whenever they're not with me, what are they doing? With whom are they doing it? Where are they? That's right. The kind of thing that lingers.
Exactly.
That's the kind of pain that lingers, because it causes such an uncertainty. Because
mm-hmm.
that is something that's great. You're allowing someone else essentially into your relationship.
Okay.
Right, into that circle.
Yeah, well, let me say this.
Not be into a circle and think it's going to work. That's totally out.
Let me say this, because we're all mature adults here. I guarantee you, 9 times out of 10, when you meet someone, they've had sex with somebody before you.
Of course. Yeah.
However, when there's infidelity in a relationship for some odd reason, that immediately shoots to the top of the chart, as opposed to the phone call missed. On the pain level chart, again, guys?
Yeah.
It shoots to the top. Why is that? I mean, you can steal my money at the bank, you know?
I can get some more back.
Yeah, you can get me fired from my job.
I can get another one.
Yeah, but once you sleep with someone else, all of a sudden, there's no fixing it.
Because
check
it goes with
there.
The matter.
We have a couple of...
Yeah, we do have one. We have one waiting. Actually, we have two waiting. We have 201 waiting.
Let's see if we can bring 201 in also.
Okay, so we have 111 in. Let's bring 201 in.
Yeah, those are private lines. Let's see if we can get them in here. 201, we're talking about, can I trust you? Can you be trusted in a relationship? You want to make
Hello?
A comment?
Hello?
Yes.
Hey, this is Carl. I'm calling from Northern New Jersey.
Okay, how are you today?
I'm actually pretty distressed, to be perfectly honest with you.
Okay, what's the problem?
Well, I've been hooking up with this black chick for the last 4 or 5 months. I'm not exactly sure how long, but about 4 months, I would say. And recently, she's just starting to change. Whenever I used to always get home from work, she always gave me a hug and a kiss, and we'd have a nice night in bed, but things are starting to change. She's always, like, just going right to bed, and I don't know what to do. Like, how do I say I want to have sex with you without outright saying it?
The first thing, Dr. Rock's going to give you a couple of suggestions. You decide whether you want to take them or not. First of all, get her attention. After you guys have kind of, you know, got in and settled for the evening, turn off all the, you know, the TV, the radio, light a candle. If she's sitting on the couch, sit on the floor and say, baby, I just want to talk to you. See how she responds to that. That's the time that you guys have to share that intimate space.
Really?
That's the time you're going to find out whether or not she's interested in how you feel or not. Go ahead.
Well, time? Wait.
Second.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, you guys.
That will work.
Well, no, I'm not saying it'll work, because the process is what you have to start. And we just want to find out how she's going to react to your heartfelt words, that you're not getting the reaction from her about, you know, whether or not she feels, you know, whether or not
this girl will listen to my heartfelt words.
No, I'm saying that you have to try, and then you're going to be able to find out from her reaction whether or not she's listening. If she does not listen, you have a decision to make. If she listens, then you guys can fix it.
She's a nigger. Anyway, so, sometimes she talks dirty to me, and like she uses like her ghetto talk, because she's from Baltimore, Maryland.
Okay.
And I guess she knows a couple of dirty things from the, like she uses like the N-word, you know, she goes, yo, nigga, get on the couch or whatever, and I mean, I respond to it pretty well, but I'm not used to it. I grew up in a suburban neighborhood, and never met a black girl until her.
But you know what, this is another show anyway. Let me ask you this. How did you guys meet?
We met in a club.
Okay. What was the attraction?
She was drunk. She was drunk, and I was sober.
So you were attracted to drunk black women?
I really hadn't met a black woman in my life before.
But what I'm asking you is that you're attracted to drunk black females.
Well, I guess she's really pretty.
Okay. So you overlooked the fact that she was drunk. You got her number. You called her when she was not drunk, and you guys started a relationship, right?
Yeah, we went to a me, her, and my friend Patrick. We went to KFC. We had a nice meal.
Cool.
And she seemed to like my personality.
Okay. Now hold on 1 second, okay? Because I want to give you some more advice.
All right, nigger. Okay.
111. Go ahead.
Hello, is this Dr.
Yes.
Rock?
Yes.
Hey, Dr. Rock, how are you?
How are you today?
I'm doing good myself. I don't know if you can tell by my voice, but, you know, I'm not the one who enjoys hetero, you know, relationships, right?
You don't enjoy relationships?
No, I don't enjoy, you know, the typical relationship. I'm not going to, you know, give it out, you know, straight up, but I just don't enjoy the typical relationship, if you know what I mean by typical.
Okay, I think I understand what you're saying.
And so are you, you know, do you understand me?
Well, no,
are you going to be able to help
this.
Me?
The topic we're talking about right now is can I trust you in a relationship?
Yeah, but are you okay with me being, you know?
No. We're not homophobic. We're not going to tell anyone about.
Oh, okay. That's absolutely wonderful.
No. We're not like that. What we're talking about, whatever relationship you're in, whether or not you can trust your mate.
Okay, and
yes.
I see in your description you say, can you be trusted? That's
exactly.
What I was really intrigued in.
Exactly.
What's your opinion on that? How am I supposed to be trusted by my, you know?
Well, you're going to be judged by your character. Trust is part of your character.
Hmm?
It's a very big part of your character. I mean, we have to agree with that. I know we live in a French fry microwave generation. However, if I can't trust you, if people know in your circle that they can't trust you, more than likely, they're going to, you know, create some space from you because nobody wants to be around someone who's constantly lying, fabricating, creating these, you know, scenarios that, you know, make no sense just to be a drama queen or a drama person. So the thing is that people affiliated and people kind of co-join and become gregariously attached to people that they feel comfortable around. If I can't trust you, you know, that's an automatic one. I can't, you know, I don't feel comfortable around you. So
I understand.
Yeah,
and
I think you're a good person. I mean, again, whether or not whoever your relationship is with, that's unimportant to us. What is important that you are whole in the relationship and you're in a safe place with that person so that it can be productive.
Yes, I understand.
Yes.
Because, you know, the person I like, his name is Raymond Batt.
Oh, we don't use any names. Please,
I'm
don't
sorry.
Use any names. Yes, so go ahead.
Okay, I'll use a nickname. Ray-Ray. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Ray-Ray. So me and Ray-Ray, you know, we have a pretty good relationship going. We like trust him. He tends to, you know, fabricate some situations. You know, one time I asked him, where were you? He said he was at work, but it turns out he was actually at a restaurant with one of his coworkers. You know, which I'm okay with. Just why do you have to fabricate the truth, like you said before? You know,
right.
I think you're absolutely right. And do you have any other tips for me?
Yes, I do. Again, most importantly, because the Computer Love Show is about cyberspace and online dating, be safe. Make good decisions. Give everybody a chance. Protect your heart. Protect your heart always.
Okay. So,
okay? And thanks for calling.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, okay. I just like to continue a little bit. And I won't take too much of your time.
Okay, great. We only have 10 minutes left.
Okay, so I just wanted to ask you, you know, can you be trusted? How do you build the trust? I don't understand how you would
I'm going to give you a perfect example of building trust. When you get into a brand new relationship, as I've done, what I do is, say you've met someone, they've moved across the country to be with you, you establish trust by saying, look, I have my own business, but this is what I'm going to do for this relationship. I'm going to tell you right now that I will not be out of this house after 9 o'clock unless you know where I'm at and or unless you're with me.
Yeah.
You're taking the first step in initiating that. And that person is going to be able to respect that. You know, they really are. That's going to make them feel a little bit more comfortable. So, in other words, what I'm saying is you take the step to initiate that person's ability to trust in you.
Yes.
Oh, okay. So,
you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I understand.
Okay.
Just one more thing, real
quick.
I just want to thank you for what you told me. And your show sucks. No one.
Yeah, we're getting some crank calls, and I'm going to be hanging up on them because, you know, everybody's a player, and they think this is a game, and of course, we're not going to, you know, we're just going to just let them be where they are in their negative space. KT, you still there?
I'm still here.
Yeah, we're going to just, let's put these people on somewhere else where they need to be at. We'll report that to Blog Talk. Go ahead. Back to the topic. What we're going to do is stay focused. You know, this is not the first time. You know, there's always going to be a distraction. There's going to be that individual that wants to drive a wedge into something. And this is what we're talking about in relationships. You know, you're going to have some people that you're really into, and they just don't want to do right. But I think that one of the last topics, you know, a little prank caller guy, you know, he decided to say, he asked that question, which we have on the blog, can I be trusted if you're away from your mate, traveling and whatever else, in a situation where you're, you know, in another city, and, you know, you may be staying in a hotel, you're traveling on a work assignment or whatever, can you be trusted when you're away from your mate? And that again, it resolves what? It resolves your ability to show your character and your integrity, your self-pride, and to be accountable. I think there's, again, I think I reminded you guys about this last time. There's a commercial. I'm not sure if it's a phone commercial or whatever, but this guy is traveling, and his wife calls him, and he's on the road, and she says she can't sleep. So he gets in the bed, and he calls her on the phone, and he puts the phone by the pillow while he's snoring, which makes her more comfortable, and then she goes to sleep. You know, she just wanted to know that he was accountable, there was no one with him, and maybe she was used to hearing him snore. Love is a funny kind of thing, you know, but whatever it takes to make your mate comfortable, then that's what you got to do. That's what you got to do. Understand that. And CKT, that's what we have to do when we have prank callers. We have to hit the hang-up button on them. Understand this. Dr. Rock will be in charge of this button. And if you call with that madness, you will be summarily dealt with. Simple as that, guys. But back to the subject. Get a copy of the book, Computer Love. You'll love it. It'll spice up your bedroom. Can you be trusted in a relationship, KT?
Well, I think I definitely can be trusted. I mean, personally, I've never cheated on anyone except outside of my relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But if I were to even have the urge to do that, now I think it's more what, you know, sometimes it's what to do when you have the urge.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and it's easy to say, well, don't put yourself, you know, in that kind of situation. Well, sometimes you don't know that the situation is forthcoming.
Right.
Like when it almost happened to me, I didn't know that the situation was forthcoming.
Right.
I had no idea.
It's not like
so
something you can foresee.
No.
Right.
No, you really can't.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's more of a it has less to do with the person, because however long you've been with that person, you've been yourself, your character self, your sexual self, whatever you want to describe it as. You've been that person for a long time. So it's just a matter of how you carry yourself, how strong. Sometimes it's just a matter of how strong your will is.
Exactly.
So,
let's get 713 back in on this. 713, can you be trusted?
Yeah, I can be trusted. I mean, I've already had issues in the past regarding wrong decision that I have made in my relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as cheating, no, I've never step
How
outside
did you fix
of
those
my
problems?
Place. Pardon me?
How did you fix those problems?
Be more accountable. You know, I was one of the ones, you know, well, when he called, yeah, I see the number, I'll call him back. And,
right.
You know, 2 hours later, I'll call. And then, of course, you know, guys know or females know where you've been. Why didn't you pick up, you know, the who, what, when, where, why, and how
right.
questionnaire. But once you go ahead and establish that, like you said, you have to be accountable. And if you don't feel like you can be accountable, like you said, you have to move around.
Right.
And
you have to be a person of your – you have to have your own character in check.
Mm-hmm.
I tell people a lot of times, because it's getting kind of close here, guys, to our end, is that my integrity and my character is more important to me than any relationship, because I'm going to carry that in every relationship that I'm in, whether it be work, you know, personal or whatever. In other words, I'm not going to cheat on you, not because of my undaunting love for you. I'm not going to cheat on you because of my self-respect, because I don't want you or anyone else to point me out and say, oh, he's a cheater. I saw him doing dirt, because I can't change it, and if I did it, I have to own up to it. So to avoid all of that, again, that's that choice thing, guys. You know, when you're at the fork of the road, you can go left or you can go right. So that, you know, again, impedes upon a person's character. The suggestion I gave to the prank caller, you know, communicate with that person, you know, even though they were not being serious. I'm very serious in what I'm doing. Very much so. And I understand, you know, I understand the hearts of man. So we have to, that's why I tell everybody, protect your heart, protect yourself, your identity when you're on the, when you're online. You know, I mean, it's this computer accessibility thing, it opens us up to an unbountiful area of knowledge. Any question you could pretty much ask, you can probably find 2,000 hits on it. But just be careful as you enter into a relationship with people online, someone you meet at the gas station or at church. Take your time, get to know them, find out whether or not they can be trusted. And if they can, then you go to the next step, because trust is something that takes pretty much a nice, let's just say a pretty long period to establish. But it only takes about 333,000 nanoseconds to destroy. That's probably less than a second, guys. Caught in the wrong situation, all that trust go right out the window. All of it. Make sure, because if you don't protect yourself, who's going to? And bring forth to the relationship your character and the fact that you can be trusted. Initiate these things in the relationship, that you're going to do certain things to make sure that this person feels comfortable. I think they'll be able to appreciate that. Final words. How can you tell the difference between somebody who's a player and somebody who loves you, 713? Good question.
Well, a player only want booty call, but someone who loves you is going to stick with you no matter what.
Hey, I like that. No booty call. What about you, KT?
Simple. Sacrifice.
Sacrifice, boy. This
I like that.
I love that. I love that. And go ahead and elaborate right quick, because we still got a minute.
Okay, real quick. Just say you have a situation where car breaks down. Woman's car breaks down. She calls you. You have a few hours. You have a few hours off, or you have a day off. You tell her, take my car. You leave yours, and I'll take care of it. Sacrifice.
Okay. Yeah. Exactly. You know. Keep talking. We're gonna talk this thing out. Because, you know, you're right. We have to be able to decide whether or not, you know, that person can be trusted. A pastor once told me the best example of your intelligent choice is the person that you wake up next to every morning. Okay, guys? So let's
All right.
take that one and run with it. And we'll see you guys next Thursday. Same bad time, same love station on the Dr. Rock Computer Love Show. Peace out.
See, the crack is trying to get at me.